Ticcha dvija gremam Shraddhayo paritamaya Sarvatmanam rupam te Grihamedhisu karmasu. Sat-pratit-sat-vijad-vema Sarvatmanam rupam te Grihamedhisu karmasu.
Please accept her, O chief of the Brahmanas, for I offer her with faith, and she is in every respect fit to be your wife and take charge of your household duties. Purport. The words Grihamedhisu karmasu mean in household duties. Another word is also used here, sarvatmananu rupam. The purport is that a wife should not only be equal to her husband in age, character, and qualities, but must be helpful to him in his household duties. The household duty of a man is not to satisfy his sense gratification, but to remain with a wife and children, and at the same time attain advancement in spiritual life. One who does not do so is not a householder, but a grihamedhi. Two words are used in Sanskrit literature. One is grihastha, and the other is grihamedhi. The difference between grihamedhi and grihastha is that grihastha is also an ashram, or spiritual order. But if one simply satisfies his senses as a householder, then he is a grihamedhi. For a grihamedhi, to accept a wife means to satisfy the senses. But for a grihastha, a qualified wife is an assistant in every respect for advancement in spiritual activities. It is the duty of the wife to take charge of household affairs and not to compete with the husband. A wife is meant to help, but she cannot help her husband unless he is completely equal to her in age, character, and quality. Points in this verse. Tat praticcha dvijagriyemam shraddhaya uparitam maya. The girl was offered to the sage by her father. In the Vedic system, it's the duty of the father to arrange for the daughter to be married. Just as he has to arrange for her to be fed, he has to arrange for her to be protected and brought up, but finally he has to arrange for her to be married. Then his duties are complete. The girl should not be forced to go out and market herself to prospective customers. The father should see to it that the boy is nicely selected to be the husband of the daughter. And another thing is that the boy also, it's not that his father or he himself should have to go begging from door to door for a wife, but the father of the girl should find out some eligible young man and present that here's the girl, you please accept her. And that should be done shraddhaya, not half-heartedly. That I don't know about you, I'm not really quite sure about you, but blind uncle is better than no uncle, and we'll take a chance on you. But your father should have full faith. Yes, I've examined your qualities. I know what your family is. And I think you're a qualified man. So wholeheartedly, I'm giving. I'm offering my daughter to you. Please accept. Any offering, just like we offer to Krishna. So we don't offer half-heartedly. If you like, you can accept. But if you don't like, then I'll just take it and eat it myself. Or if some guest comes, would you like this? But you're giving with one hand and kind of holding back with the other. Not like that. So you're freely giving, full-heartedly giving. Shraddhaya. In Bhagavad Gita, I think it said that any offering made without shraddhaya hutam dattam, that any offering made without faith, without respect, that's useless. That's in the mode of ignorance. Offering should be made with respect and faith. So that argument is being given. The Manu has given many good reasons why you should accept this girl. She's coming from a good family. She's the daughter of Priyavrata and Uttanapada. She's of suitable age and character for you. You're looking for a wife. So now here's another argument I'm offering with faith, so you should accept her. Pratichcha, please accept. Dvija Agriya, you're qualified Brahmin. Uparitam Maya. Sarvatmananu Rupam. And she's suitable for you. Anurupa means following. Anu means following. Following you, following your characteristics. Not ahead of you. The Vedic culture means that it's psychologically, not Vedic culture, it's a psychological fact that a man wants a wife who'll follow. Not who'll compete or not who'll overshadow him, but a wife who will follow. Anurupa. This is the psychology. Someone finally has to be the boss, the authority in the family. And if the wife wants to occupy that position, the husband will not be happy. The husband will not be happy. And actually the wife will not be happy either. This is a formula for this equal terms agreement that you and I shall be on an equal level in all respects, or I'll call the shots and you'll listen to me with the woman in charge. This is a formula for disaster in householder life. And this is going on all the time as progressive Western advancement. Why should the woman be in any way regarded as less? They should be equal partners. Those equal partners doesn't work. Someone has to be in charge finally, and that should be the husband. Therefore, the husband should be more qualified. It said here, equal age. Equal means appropriate. Actually, the husband should be older. We have quite a number of letters from Srila Prabhupada. Some temple president has written, is this marriage all right? such and such, marry such and such. Prabhupada said, yes, as long as the boy is older, it has my sanction. Well, it's important. If the girl is older, she'll feel superior. My husband is a kid. So that won't work very well. But the opposite way, girl is younger, that's good. And the girl should not be of a superior family also. If the, just here it's appropriate, dvijargya, you're a qualified Brahmin. And the girl is coming from a Kshatriya family. So that's a proper marriage. That's called anulom. If the husband's family or husband's caste is superior and the wife's is equal or less, that's all right. But if the wife's family is superior, that's not good. If the husband had been a Kshatriya and the wife a Brahmin, that's called pratilom. Pratilom, which is against the system. Pratilom means not very good. Not very good. Therefore, it was remembered that sutta, who is that? Ramaharshan Sutta. His background was not considered good because it was a pratilom marriage. Anyway, he became a qualified sage. Everything was all right. But when he neglected Lord Balaram, then it was remembered, oh, this pratilom such and such rascal. So then Lord Balaram finished him off with his kushu grass weapon. Pratilom. So anulom is all right. Pratilom, not good. Sarvatmana. And not overqualified. Now it's considered very good. The girl is highly educated. She's been to Harvard. She's got her PhD. She's a this. She's a that. And the husband can only look at her with awe and reverence. Such a qualified girl. She's got credentials like from here to there. And she also knows that I've got a degree from here. That's also not very good. Someplace there's a Latin proverb. I've forgotten the Latin. But the meaning is, happy is he whose wife is uneducated. If she's not puffed up with material qualifications, then she can be a nice wife. Otherwise, if she's thinking, I'm such a big shot, I've got all these great credentials, my career, my husband and children should not stand in the way of my career. I've worked so hard. I've done all the this and that. And the career is first and everything. Then she may be a good corporate tycoon or something. But she'll be a crummy wife. So that also, unless the husband is more qualified, she has an MA and he has a double PhD or something like that. Husband should be more qualified. So anurupam. Anurupa means following. And supposing the wife is more qualified, then she shouldn't, at least she should be intelligent that if I present myself as overqualified, highly qualified, then my husband will feel intimidated and there'll be problems. So I should be very careful to be following my husband and not taking the deed. And just like a practical thing, the kirtan leader is happy when the mridanga is following. If the mridanga player wants to lead, the kirtan singer will not be very happy. He'll always be fighting with the mridanga player, or finally he'll just hand it over to somebody else. Here, you lead the kirtan. Because the duty of the mridanga player is to follow. That's the first thing. He may be, and the singer doesn't care how great the beats are, how you've studied under, you know, Ali Akbar Khan's tabla player or something. Doesn't matter. If you can follow, then you're good. Otherwise, get out of the way. Give it to somebody else. Because someone has to lead, and that's the leader. So someone has to be the husband, and that's not the wife, that's the husband. So, and even in the event that the wife is very qualified, she should be careful not to flaunt that. Just like the ideal example is Gandhari. Her husband was in one way less qualified because he was blind. So she thought that if he's blind and I can see everything, he'll always feel inferior. So let me follow my husband in his blindness. So she accepted that vow for her life. Ideal chaste lady. So this is the art, how the boy and girl should be matched, and how the psychology should be taken into proper account. So Manu argues that yes, sarvatmananurupam, she's very qualified to follow. You're looking for an assistant. You're not looking for someone to tell you what to do. You're looking for an assistant in your household life. So here's this very qualified girl who's all simply interested in taking that role. She's heard about you. Her mind is fixed on you. So in every respect, it's a good deal. You should accept her. And griha medhishu karmasu. Karma means prescribed duties. Well, householder life means there are duties. Every ashram has its duties. Brahmacharya ashram, grahastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram, sannyas ashram. There's karma, or prescribed work, for everyone in each ashram. So the householder means wife. Without a wife, there's no meaning of being a householder. There's some verse to that effect. It's quoted in Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that simply having a house doesn't make you a householder. Grihini griham uchyate. The house is a house when there's a wife in it. Otherwise, it's just another brahmachari ashram. Or almost. But when there's a wife, then householder life is there. Well, householder life means wife, children, and prescribed duties. The ashram means for advancement in spiritual life. That's not just brahmachari ashram. Brahmachari ashram doesn't mean an arrangement for everyone to get together and jointly take prasadam. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to criticize that this is not a temple, this is a joint mess. Just everyone gets together and collects for eating, and then they all eat together, and business finished. That's not brahmacharya ashram, that's jointness. Brahmacharya means always acting in the service of the spiritual master, preaching the message of Krishna, assisting the spiritual master in carrying out his mission. This is brahmacharya. He has some prescribed duties to perform, not simply eating and sleeping. That's not brahmacharya. So similarly, grahastha has prescribed duties to perform. He has to see how he's, first of all, how he's advancing in the service of Krishna, how his wife is advancing in the service of Krishna, how his children are advancing in the service of Krishna, how others also are being provided facility for their advancement in Krishna consciousness. There are so many duties for the householder. Householder has to be charitable. Householder has to receive invited or uninvited guests. There are prescribed duties. It's not a life of sense gratification. And now I have a wife. I used to be a brahmachari. I was controlling my senses. And that's all right for the brahmacharis. Now I'm a married man, so control is no longer required. No. Grihastha life means controlled life for spiritual advancement. Not that the wife is a machine for sense gratification. That's not grihastha life. That's griha medhi life. So here, wife is an assistant, and we get a qualified assistant, just like sannyasi. Not that if a sannyasi gets a good assistant, so then the brahmachari assistant is sent out, oh, now bring me a fruity, now bring me this, now bring me that, now bring me a new pillow, now bring me cushions, now bring me all arrangements for my comfort. All right, now arrange for good food, and now go to sleep. The brahmachari should be engaged for his own advancement in Krishna consciousness and for missionary activities or worship of the deity, service of Krishna. Not that now I'm a sannyasi, I'm entitled to have so many assistants. Practically another version of householder life. But I've only such a small little room I have. Why don't you make arrangements, build me a house? Why don't, now I've got the house, but there's no furniture. Now there's no there's furniture, but there's no stereo system. Now there's a stereo system, but there's no... Ultimately, he'll wind up with a wife also. So that assistant is meant to be engaged, that now Krishna sent me this assistant, so it's my duty. Not that my business is how to take service. Oh, Krishna sent me an assistant, let me enjoy, or let me take service. But actually, it's a responsibility. Now Krishna sent this servant, I have to give service. Because our philosophy is to become servant of the servant. So Krishna sent me this nice assistant for being trained up in Krishna consciousness. So I have to see to it very nicely. He should always be engaged in the service of Krishna. Not be prey to Maya's clutches. It's a duty. duty. Not that sannyas means all facility for enjoyment. It means heavy duty, heavy responsibilities. So similarly, grihastha ashram means the same thing. It's not actually, there's so many heavy responsibilities in householder life. One has to work to provide for the family members, and one has to see in so many ways to their spiritual welfare, which is a very demanding task. Children want to be out of control, wife spins out of control, everything, and he has to take control, but in such a way that wife doesn't rebel, children don't rebel, everyone's happy in Krishna consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given the formula, chant Hare Krishna, Sankirtan. So if we carry on with our Sankirtan activities in every ashram, doesn't matter, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, chant Hare Krishna and be always engaged in prescribed activities for the satisfaction of Krishna, and then everything is all right. Hare Krishna. Some questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you were making the point that grihastha ashram is not meant for seeing the wife as a sense object.
Mm.
You know, that it's not meant for unlimited sense gratification. And Prabhupada has given standards that sex life is only meant to be done for the procreation of children.
Mm.
But I've heard reports that many devotees find it hard to follow that standard. So what advice would you give to someone who's struggling with that?
Follow it anyway. You know, it's hard for a sannyasi also, you can argue. Does it mean that, well, okay, it's hard, so let me have a little something going on the side? No. Brahmachari also may argue that to be Brahmachari is hard. So what, he should have a girlfriend then? So householder life, there may be some difficulty. There must be difficulty. But when one accepts voluntary difficulty, that's tapasya. And by tapasya one makes advancement. So maybe difficult, therefore one has to be serious. If one thinks that I'll sometimes chant, I'll sometimes go to the temple, I'll sometimes, then it will be very difficult. If you take it casually, it will be difficult. It requires serious endeavor. Everything. Business requires serious endeavor. If for material life, they'll be very serious. I have to go out and get a good job. I have to do this. I have to do that. It's not that, like the lion, you know, lying on the path, and he just opens his mouth, and all the animals say, "Oh, lion's hungry, okay." He has to work. And Krishna says you can't even maintain your own body without work. So spiritual advancement also is work. Controlling the senses is work. But the work is easy if we fill our life with hearing and chanting. If there's abundant hearing and chanting, then what's difficult becomes easy. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, that which is difficult becomes easy for one who remembers Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even what's easy becomes difficult for one who forgets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should remember Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and make it easy. Is that okay?
Also, could you describe what some consequences might be if someone, you know, doesn't follow that principle? Because you know, every rule and regulation has some sort of purpose behind it.
That's described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the narration concerning Diti and Kashyapa, in which case the consequences were Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Jayate Varnasankara, unwanted children. The sex life means unwanted children. Either you have to have some child that you don't want, because you weren't planning on having a child, you were planning on having sex enjoyment. But by nature's arrangement, you also, now you have a child with all the responsibilities, expenses, and so on thereof. So you have an unwanted child and born of a mentality of sense gratification also. Or you have to kill the child, because it's an unwanted child and it's bad for the country to have too many children. Hamardo, Hamarido, so if it's the three, that's no good. Well, you have to kill the child. Or you have to be very thoughtful and think, well, I don't want to kill the child and I don't want to have an unwanted child, therefore contraceptive methods are required, which is another sinful activity. So then there's sinful reactions. In all of these cases, sinful reactions. So better one should follow the principles. It doesn't lead to happiness. In Bhagavad Gita, one should know the philosophy. Krishna says, Vishayendriya samyogat yat tadagre matopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukam rajasam smita. This rajaguna happiness means Vishayendriya samyogat, the contact of the senses with sense objects, sex life. Yat tadagre matopamam, at the beginning it may seem just like nectar. Just like Diti, she thought, let me get all the happiness of a child, Pariname Vishamiva. At the end, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. I'm suffering in so many ways. The result will be suffering. Not even just, you know, we say that in the next life you'll get suffering or this may, but just practically, the person who doesn't follow regulative principles will be unhappy. And that he'll bring unhappiness upon himself. I didn't realize. It's unhappiness. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
You are mentioning about the match sets of qualities between the matching of qualities between the wife and the husband. You also explained about the Brahman and Kshatriya kind of caste and different kind of qualities. But you also gave example of why you should not have a higher degree.
A little more slowly, please.
You gave example of the wife should not have a higher degree and higher qualification than the husband. At the same time, she should not be a higher caste than the husband. Like, she should not be a Brahman family and the husband should not be a Kshatriya family. But these are basically, you can also give example of PhDs and other degrees.
A little slower, please.
You also give example of other degrees and PhDs. The wife should not be overqualified and overstudied than the husband. But we find that in the present age, we don't have actual Brahmanas, actual Kshatriyas.
You
don't have actual Brahmanas and actual Kshatriyas.
Right.
So everybody is considered a Sudra. So how do you match the qualities in terms of these castes and different segregations?
You may say everyone's Shudra. Still there's different calculations of family background. Someone is a street sweeper. Someone is a coming from a big mercantile family. Someone's coming in the family of professors and so on. So although Varnashram may not be exactly followed, still something is there. And no one, say, from a big prestigious mercantile family will find out some street sweeper's daughter for his son. Am I right? No one will say, oh, but she's beautiful, she works hard, this, that. They won't do that. And similarly, so many ways like that. So there's some at least rough calculation. And sometimes, especially in India, it becomes quite specific also. Still, something is there. Prabhupada said a dead elephant is still worth a lakh. So Varnashram, even in its deteriorated form, still something is there. And even in other countries, in America, in Russia, in China, still there's, try and erase it, you know, that we want to erase the blight of casteism, da-da-da-da-da. Still, will the Prime Minister marry, of course he's not married, but if he's married, will he marry his daughter to a person from such and such community? No. Never. So it's calculated in terms of whatever the local understanding is of high class, low class. Then if your daughter marries some low-class man, then it's not very good. He should be, as they say, a good catch. You know, he should be a better. Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, you explained about the necessity for the wife to be materially less qualified than the husband so that there is compatibility between them. But naturally, when a husband and wife come together, there is also a lack of spiritual compatibility. It quite often happens, or more often than not, that either the husband is more spiritually advanced than the wife or vice versa. So in such a case, although both the husband and wife are trying to follow the regulative principles and trying to follow the teachings of Prabhupada, in relation to the sex desire, there is normally a situation where one of the partners is not able to control, or the other one is able to control better than the other. So in such a situation, then it happens that if the other person is not cooperative, then there is a dispute in the family or disturbances in their behavior pattern, although both of them are necessarily striving for advancing in Krishna consciousness, then in such a situation, what would you advise?
Yes, therefore, from the beginning, the understanding should be there that this is not an arrangement for sense gratification. From both sides, the understanding should be there that our combination is for spiritual progress. Just like in some contract business deal. So when the terms are set out clearly from the beginning, then later no one can say, oh, I thought that this was supposed to be, I got 10% and you get 5%, and now you're saying you want 12%. No, here it is on paper from the beginning. Then there's no misunderstanding. Anyone who wants to back out, he can back out in the beginning. That, no, I don't think this is what I want. I want something else. So from the beginning, that understanding should be there, that our purpose is Krishna consciousness. We're talking about matching. First match is Deva-asura. If the one partner is coming from the asuric side and the other is daivik, that's not at all good. Daivik means ungodly, not interested in Krishna. And the other is simply wants to be Krishna conscious, then it's not a good combination. Leave the asuras to the asuras, and the devas should be combined. So then you've got a good start. They're both interested in Krishna consciousness. Their purpose is the same. Now someone may be stronger, someone may be weaker, but then they can refer that, look, this is the deal, that our purpose is Krishna consciousness. So are we going to stick by the contract? Are we going to go by the deal? Or you want to change the terms? The stronger side has some good argument. Actually, husband should be stronger, because the husband should be like the spiritual master of the wife. So he should be in the controlling position. That, all right, you want sense gratification, but sense gratification means unhappiness if we go beyond restrictions. So he should be stronger. Otherwise, sometimes if the wife is very saintly, qualified, then she finds out the way how to bring the husband to the standard also. So somehow or other, that Krishna consciousness should prevail. And if they're strong, weak, one partner is weak or both partners are weak, then they can take help also from others who may not be weak, who may be strong. Other householders who can strengthen them, give them good, strong association, then that also becomes good. Because I may have trouble on my own, or we may have trouble on our own. Then if we take help from those who are more advanced, then it becomes good.
My relevant question was, how do you advise a young couple who put forward this question to you, and how do you practically deal with it? So, I mean, what do you advise?
I practically deal with it by staying a sannyasi. But how do they practically deal with it? Yes, young or old, I'm not this body, so I have to follow the principles. And best advice is always be engaged in the service of Krishna. If I have no engagement, then naturally sex life becomes prominent. Every time there's a heavy snowstorm in New York, then 9 months later, the hospitals are filled with maternity cases. Because nobody goes to work, the snow becomes so hard, they all have to stay indoors. and there's nothing, no work, nothing to do, so. But if we're always engaged, then we have no time for the devil's workshop in the form of the idle mind. Husband and wife should both be actively engaged, always in service of Krishna, service of Krishna. Therefore, the deity worship especially is very important for the householders. Brahmacharis don't require. Brahmacharis can go out, distribute books, preach. They may not have so much facility for worshipping the deity. It's also good for the brahmacharis, but they can go, for them to go out and preach is still more important. But the householders, they stay in one place, and for them, and this deity worship is extremely important. By worshipping the deity, because everyone has some affectionate feelings and wants to feel some reciprocation, everyone wants the heart to be satisfied. So by the deity worship, the heart becomes satisfied in relationship to Krishna. And one can invest one's loving affection in serving Krishna. To sew for Krishna, to cook for Krishna, to bathe Krishna, to do everything for the pleasure of Krishna, decorate Krishna, see the beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna, hear about Krishna. By that engagement, this is the actual medicine for this disease of lusty desires, is to desire is natural. So the desire should be transferred to Krishna. And this is very practical by worshipping the deity. And worshipping the deity means hearing and chanting. To chant Hare Krishna before the deity, or while worshipping the deity, to chant Hare Krishna, hear something, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. So by these programs of Krishna conscious engagement, so one is so busy. And his love will grow, his spontaneous affection for Krishna will grow. And the realization that I'm not this body, that I'm, well, the whole realization of the philosophy becomes prominent. And when Krishna consciousness is there, then Maya doesn't have the chance to act. Otherwise, if you just want to stop Maya, but without Krishna, like these submarines, you know, they have to be pressurized inside because the pressure outside is so heavy. So if they're not pressurized inside, the walls collapse and the whole thing is finished. So inside you have to have strong pressure so that you can match the pressure from outside. So that pressure means strong pressure of Krishna, strong force of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if you want to keep a vacuum inside, no. There's pressure outside and a vacuum inside, it will collapse. So the pressure should be, or force should be, strong inside. Or Prabhupada gives the example that if a glass is full of milk, then no ink can enter into that glass because it's full. But if you have it half full, then the other half is inviting. Come on, something should go here. So in an inky atmosphere, the ink will fill it up. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, during the lecture you mentioned how it is good for household life to, for the wife to be following the husband and assisting him, and also from this, you have mentioned how the father is looking out for a husband for the daughter. In other words, he's training his daughter for a proper householder life. But sometimes the argument is put forward that in today's scenario, this is not very possible. This traditional roles is not very much practical. And specifically considering ISKCON society also, it is put forward, this argument is put forward. Basically some two, three arguments are put forward. First of all, we have reached so far ahead that to come back to these traditional roles is impractical. Secondly, even by Srila Prabhupada's example, when he was on this planet, he showed that he gave equal rights to everyone. Third, with the appointment of...
Let's do them one at a time, because we're getting a lot of them. First one is that the tradition is old, so that we have to, it's no longer practical to follow, so we have to follow the new way of life. All right, so I'm an authority on that because I'm coming from America. So let's get serious. Let's not just talk theoretically new traditions, new way of life, old tradition. The new way of life is that your daughter should mix with many boys. Because you're not going to find a husband for her. That's the old traditional dusty method. So we're going to follow the new method, means she has to find her own husband. So how do you find a husband? Well, you have to mix with many boys. Right? And mixing with boys, what does it mean? Hello, how are you? I'm fine. Oh, good, I'm fine too. It means you have to have sex with those boys also. They'll want to meet you, they'll want to get to know you, they'll want to take you out on a date, they'll want to go to the movies with you, they'll want this, and one thing will lead to another, and they'll want to have sex with you also. And they'll say, well, you know, if you don't want to love me, then I'm not interested in you, I'm not going to be your friend anymore, da 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 da. So she has to sell herself. First she has to dress attractively, she has to move attractively, she has to act attractively, she's got to sell herself. She's got to go out to the marketplace and sell herself. And she can't really hold back because it's a buyer's market. So when the boys want to have, you know, well, could you give me a free trial offer? Then she has to say yes. And after many such trials, when somehow or other she's together with someone either who seems right, or, you know, they're just madly in love, or she's pregnant, or it's kind of getting rough because she's so many, and nothing's worked, so, you know, how long can I go on like this? So then finally she accepts one, all right, you know. And then that's marriage. So if you like that system, then your argument is very good. Then let your daughter be a prostitute and go out in the market and sell herself, and that's very nice. But we don't think that's very nice, but if you like that, then you do that. Out of affection for your daughter, you can offer her to everyone. Instead of being like Karta Muni, to offer your daughter to a very qualified young man, just offer her to everyone. Anyone who likes, here's my daughter, she's on her own, and the rest is up to her and up to you. But if you think that's a better system, then that's your business. Second part of the question. Prabhupada gave equal rights. No, he didn't. Prabhupada didn't subscribe. Prabhupada's the author of this book. And we don't find here that Prabhupada says equal rights, equal rights. Prabhupada was sensible. Prabhupada was knowledgeable. Prabhupada was faithful to the Vedic way of life. and Prabhupada didn't go for this everybody's equal on the material platform idea. Spiritually, everyone is equal. Spiritually, everyone should have equal opportunity for serving Krishna. But materially, if you want to have men and women, this man and woman the same, it will not be happy. And Prabhupada knew it. So that's the second point. What was your third point?
The third point was, their third argument is that ISKCON is waking up to realities now with the appointment of ministers, Mataji ministers. We are becoming more liberal and we are giving equal rights to our mothers.
I don't want to talk about ISKCON. I'm talking from the philosophy. ISKCON may do so many things. It may sometimes be good, it may sometimes be bad, it may sometimes be half good, half bad. Just to say ISKCON does it, therefore it's good, or ISKCON's starting to do it, therefore it's good, is an argument that I'm not going to accept. ISKCON has done so many things that have proven themselves to be not the greatest idea in the world. So that's not going to go anywhere. You know, find someone who'll buy that argument, but it's not me.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I spend some time in the West in the mixed temples where our brahmacharis and brahmacharinis was living together. And my impression was that we brahmacharis get very nice training and very nice take care of us. But on the other ways, the mothers didn't actually was left more for themselves and actually didn't get this idea what it's actually the Vedic mother and how they should actually
what
act.
Is the, actually the
what it's what means to be the Vedic mother or Vedic wife and how to properly act. So my question it is what you think that can be done about that.
I don't, first of all, I can't say much about what kind of training they get, don't get, because I don't get involved with that side of the temple. Everyone goes to the same Bhagavatam class, same philosophy is there, same books are there, and so that, and that's our main source of education for both the men and women. So it's not that secrets are being kept from them. Apart from that, I see that just from practical experience, because I happen to have my office in Alachua, so I see that the young girls get very good training. Lakshmi Moni and that whole, what is her name, Akuti. They give very good training. You've seen in Back to Godhead. They're getting very nice instruction and so on. So I don't know if it's empirically so that, you know, whether your facts are straight, that brahmacharis get all the instruction and the women are just kind of left hanging and wondering what to do. I don't know if it's so. Otherwise, if it is so, then they should get good instruction, good training, good guidance, especially from their senior god sisters or senior lady devotees. Not the business of the sannyasis to hold hands with the ladies and say, oh, tell me your problems, tell me your, you know, needs. But ISKCON now is a little older society. So there's so many experienced ladies. And the more experienced should, just as the, among the men, the more experienced men should train the less experienced men. Newer, older members should train the newer members. So the older and experienced and qualified ladies should share their experience and qualification with the younger ladies. That's not only ISKCON, that's every society in the world. That's what you do.
Thank you very much.
Так.
Maharaj, this is a question. This is a question on, you said that Prabhupada has given equal opportunity to Matajis and Prabhujis to do devotional service. So my question is that you said Prabhupada was very chaste to Vedic principles, but we may be not so Krishna conscious, and tendency of Matajis, like, you know, thinking that this is a devotional service, and we think that doing all type of the service is a must for us. And when we have a husband who are understanding, who support them, if we have a husbands who are very understanding and support such principles, we look upon them. But unfortunately, sometimes we tend to have some god sisters whose husband may not think so, but our tendency to them, we looked upon such husband. We look upon, Mataji's look down upon such husband. So my question is that, as a Mataji, where we draw a principle that devotional service is a must for us, but then it is also said that we should be submissive, chaste, and looking after our family. So how can we draw a line over there?
Yes. The sometimes the husband may not be so advanced as seen by others, or may not be so qualified or whatever. So anyway, it's a duty. I have some husband, so I have to keep him happy, I have to take care of the house nicely, I have to do everything. But still I should follow my principles. 16 rounds for regulative principles. Just like Prabhupada gave the example that his sister was married, and when she came to the husband's house, she found that they were eating fish. So then she began to cry. Why are you crying? We've never in our whole life we've touched these things. In my family, we never. Then they made some arrangement for her. Don't worry about separate cooking and like that. So, because otherwise she could have said, well, my husband's a fish eater, I'll be a fish eater too. But she stuck to her principles. So we have these principles we should follow. But apart from that, whatever, to assist the husband, he may be whatever he may be, but we have to try to follow, assist, help. So that we have some job, so it may be for the greatest company in the world, it may be for some not so good company. Boss may be very good man, boss may be a so-and-so. But somehow I have to do my prescribed duties. Boss will be happy as far as possible that this man is a good worker. He didn't want a Hare Krishna for a employee, but he's doing the work, so what's the harm? So the wife then has to try to work in such a way that the husband will always be pleased with her activities. And spiritually, the more she can help the husband to advance in Krishna consciousness. This is the real thing, that the wife who wants to be happy should see to it that her husband is Krishna conscious. Because if sometimes the wife thinks that my husband is so Krishna conscious, how will I be happy? He's too much of a sadhu, he's too much of a, you know, this or that. So then she wants to change him and bring him down to earth, bring him down to... But after she brings him down, then she suffers. because the whole thing was based on, from his side, was based on Krishna consciousness. And you subtract the Krishna, he was supporting his wife, he was giving attention to his family, everything for the service of Krishna. Now you subtract Krishna, and why should he care? He didn't marry you for love, he married you for devotional service. Now you subtract devotional service, you've just killed the marriage. Because, you know, what's so great about you when there's 100,000 other ladies available in Bombay? Or why should I stay with the family at all when it's such a botheration and so expensive and so much work and this and that? Let me just forget the whole thing on some excuse. So it's in the best interests of the wife to see to it that the husband remains Krishna conscious, because Krishna consciousness means responsibility, it means everything stable. And non-Krishna consciousness means anything goes. If sense gratification is good, then everything is good. And if sense gratification goes bad, then everything is bad. And it's all up in the air. So the intelligent wife should try to see that the husband is Krishna conscious as far as possible. And the intelligent husband also, unless he wants a troublesome wife, he should see that she's Krishna conscious as far as possible. It's in both their interests. Is that okay?
Most of us are when we joined ISKCON, we were already married and, you know, having children. You know, like you said, the Vedic way of seeing and getting married. So maybe we are not into that. So my question is that because our two natures are different, the chances are high that be a problem between husband and wife. So my question is, once you come to Krishna consciousness, is it possible that when it is too bad a relationship and you can give up that relationship for a higher service?
First thing is that if I'm Krishna conscious, then the body is less important. This marriage means eating, sleeping, mating, defending. These are the material necessities of life. Marriage is an arrangement for stable satisfaction of the material requirements. Everyone requires eating, everyone requires sleeping, everyone requires sex, everyone requires shelter. So rather than have it haphazard, it's regularized. That's marriage. So that's good for Krishna consciousness, even suppose the arrangement was made beforehand. But all right, that part is out of the way. Some arrangement is there. I have my home, I have my husband, I have my everything. So that part is taken care of. Everyone needs these things, so that's taken care of. And now, since that's taken care of, I only have to concentrate on making advancement in Krishna consciousness. Not that I stop my duties, but I know what my duties are, I know what my family is. It's not like a big question mark in the sky someplace. This is my husband, these are my children, this is my house, this is that. So that's all regular. So now I just have to continue my regular duties and add Krishna consciousness. Now I have to add Krishna consciousness. And because I'm Krishna conscious, exactly what the arrangements are less important. Just like a materialist, he has to have this kind of house, he has to have this kind of car, he has to have this kind of food, he has to have this kind of this, he has to have this kind of that. Because everything's, you know, according to the material arrangement. If it's not to my liking or satisfaction, then the Krishna conscious person, whatever food I get, maybe, you know, some neem leaves and some rice, or whatever, something, it's good. Every day in Govardhan, I'm getting neem, fresh neem. It's great. Anyway, I may get a little this, I may get a little. Anyway, I'm eating. And anyway, maybe I don't have a big bed, but they give me 6 feet of floor and a mosquito net. What do I need? So Krishna consciousness means that you're not so worried, what is my eating, what is my sleeping, what is my this, what is my that. Anyway, body is, I'm surviving, it's going on.